or seeking God's help and independence on him. Would you turn with me this evening to that second passage of scripture we read, Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. The account of the conversion of this man, Zacchaeus. There's a great variety in the sort of things that God uses to bring people to know his son, Jesus Christ, to bring people to become Christians. When we were privileged to hear a number of testimonies recently here, there was a huge variety, wasn't there, in people's experiences and how they've been brought to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Although, of course, there was one common thread. They came as sinners to the cross. One of the things that God uses, and he used it in the case of this man Zacchaeus, was curiosity. It was curiosity which brought Zacchaeus to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is something that some of us have experienced personally. And you may be here tonight because you're curious, and that's a good thing. Zacchaeus was curious. He wanted to know who Jesus was. And you're here tonight because you just want to know a bit more. What's it all about? What's happening at Mount Zion? What is it that is preached and taught here? And that's a good thing. It's just like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus lived in a place called Jericho. Now, if you know the Bible, you'll know in the Old Testament about Jericho, whose walls fell down flat when Joshua and the children of Israel surrounded the walls and blew the trumpets on the seventh day. And there was a curse put on anybody who decided to rebuild Jericho. Well, the Jericho mentioned here was a city or a town that was built next door, right next to the Jericho known in Old Testament times. And it was given to Herod the Great, who ruled Palestine, as a gift by Caesar Augustus. And it was a bit like the Paris of the Middle East, because it had aqueducts, it had a fortress, it had a monumental winter palace which Herod the Great built for himself. It had huge pools in the palace, and sadly, Herod actually drowned one of his sons in one of these pools. He was a very cruel man at times, Herod was. So it was this city, this Paris of Palestine, which Jesus passed through on his way to Jerusalem, and then ultimately, in just a few days' time, his crucifixion. And he encounters eventually this man called Zacchaeus. Now the word Zacchaeus, the name Zacchaeus, is short for Zechariah. It's a bit like I'm called Peter, but just about everybody except my wife calls me Pete. So it's a shortened version. Now Zacchaeus was a bit like that. It was a shortened version of Zechariah. And he was called a chief tax collector. Well, if you're not sure what that word tax collector means, well, it means that somebody who collected taxes for the Roman governor, the Roman Empire, because Palestine was part of the Roman Emperor in those days. So the emperor needed to be financially supported. And so what the Caesars did was to say, well, on every item that was sold, there was a tax, a bit like our VAT. And the tax collector sat at the various tax collection points, and when goods passed through, then people had to pay the appropriate tax. And then they were allowed, with the tax collectors, to take something legitimately for themselves. But then on top of that, many of them did more than that. They, as it were, they started to cream off some of the money for themselves. They would overcharge people. And now Zacchaeus wasn't just any ordinary tax collector. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. He had done very well for himself. He was top of the promotion pile. He was successful. And I say this in passing, Zacchaeus was successful in this world's terms. He had made his money. He was doing well. He had got promotion. He could get no higher. So when he came to Christ, it was not because he needed Christianity as some sort of crutch. And you know what some people say? Well, Christians, it's just a crutch to help them through life. Well, praise God that knowing Christ, well, we can't have a better help to get through life than that. And then through death, even more importantly. But that's not what being a Christian is all about. We don't use Christ as a crutch because of our failures in life. Zacchaeus, in one sense, had no failures. He was rich. It was a hugely lucrative trade. But of course what he did meant that he was a hated man. He was regarded as a sinner because he was hated, because to support the Roman Empire was treason, wasn't it? And in a sense, I can understand how people in Palestine, those loyal Palestinians, looked at people like Zacchaeus and thought, you traitor, you traitor. Just think if Germany had conquered this country in the Second World War, and think of people who if decided to collaborate with the occupying army. And do you know how they were viewed in France? Well, you can understand it, why people like Zacchaeus were hated, and they were regarded as sinners. They were not allowed often into the synagogue. They were regarded as too unworthy, and people didn't want anything to do with them. This is this man Zacchaeus, a most unlikely man to come to love the Lord Jesus Christ when you think about it. Successful, crime had paid for him, he was doing well, he was very rich. And we think of the other rich man that we read about, the rich young ruler, and he seemed to have everything going for him, didn't he? Because he wasn't like Zacchaeus, he was a righteous man. He tried to keep the law. All these things, he says to Jesus, have I kept from my youth. And we think, this is a most promising encounter. But Jesus gave him a challenge, and Jesus was basically saying to him, well, if you want to follow me, you've got to love me more than your possessions. And the rich man went away very sad because he was very rich. Now here was Zacchaeus, also very rich. And you would think, well, this was a pretty hopeless case for Jesus to conquer compared to the rich young ruler, wouldn't you? Well, Zacchaeus decided he wanted to see Christ. Jesus was passing through Jericho, and Zacchaeus must have heard something about Jesus and what he had done. He thought, well, I want to see this man for myself. Zacchaeus actually strikes me as what we would call a character. It is recorded, even today, that you can go to where Jericho was and you can see this tower. And people say that is the house where Zacchaeus lived. Now, nobody can be absolutely sure of it. But there's something in me which wonders whether, is it true? Because I could just imagine this man Zacchaeus, this character, this little man, but it was top of the pile. If he did have a house, he'd only want a small one, would he? It would not surprise me if he decided, well, I'm going to build a great big tower. I might be small, but my house is going to be big and I can look down on you all. Well, this man, he wanted to see who Jesus was. That can happen today, can't it? That's the first reason why Zacchaeus wanted to see Christ. He wanted to see who Jesus was. And that can happen today. As I said earlier on, we can be curious. It's true that I was brought up in a Christian family, but I basically turned it I'll turn my back on it when I was 16. And somebody said to me, look, when I was about 18, Peter, I want you to please come to the young people's service. There's a young man there and I think you'll like him. And I thought, well, I'm sure I won't, but I was pressed, and to keep people quiet, I came. And I was just purely curious. Just curious about it. And lots of people are like that. Just curious. And praise God for people who come here who are curious. Look what happened to Zacchaeus. They were curious. And he wanted to see who Jesus was. He wanted to see for himself, but he got a problem. He was small and there were lots of crowds. Well, if you've ever been in the midst of a crowd and you want to see a procession going past you, perhaps some of you here went to the Queen's coronation, I don't know. But there have been many great events in London, haven't there? And there have been crowds and crowds of people. Yet if you are not in the front queue, you don't really see very much. And if you are small like me, then it's almost certain you won't see very much. And Zacchaeus was small. And you could think of him sort of bobbing here and bobbing there, trying to get a good view of Jesus and thinking, no, I'm going to give this up. I'm going to climb into a tree so I can actually see Jesus for myself. And I like his determination. Having put his mind to it, he thought, no, I really want to see who Jesus is. I'm not going to be put off by problems. And if you want to see who Jesus is, then, and you want to begin to seek him, then please don't let problems get in your way. There's always a way over them. There's always a way around them. And Zacchaeus climbed into the sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was going to pass that way. He was going to pass on right beside the sycamore tree. So that's it from Zacchaeus' point of view, but we'd be very wrong to think that that was the only reason why Zacchaeus did what he did. We can look at it and say, well, it's because he was curious, yes. He was determined, yes. He was small, so he was going to go as far as climbing up into a tree. However ridiculous that made him look, he was going to do it. And all of that is true, but there's a greater power at work here. There's a far greater power at work here. And that's the power of the love of Christ. And Zacchaeus wasn't aware of it. But Christ was drawing Zacchaeus. Jesus Christ was not there by chance. It wasn't just a lucky thing that happened. He was also beginning to work in the heart of Zacchaeus. It was Jesus Christ who produces curiosity. It's God who works from on high, who begins to change our thoughts, our feelings, what we want. He does it. He begins to turn us round. And I think that's wonderful. Must look at it in two ways. Yes, Zacchaeus was curious, but there was something far deeper going on here. He was working in Zacchaeus' hearts. Do you know, it's a lovely thought that here tonight, this evening at Mount Zion, Jesus is passing this way in the gospel. And we heard a week ago about Jesus knocking at the door of our hearts, asking for admission. And that's what he was beginning to do in the heart of Zacchaeus. Knock, knock. The feet of Jesus were coming towards Zacchaeus. He was seeking him. He was searching him out. And eventually he would find him. But little did Zacchaeus know that his feet were coming to Christ. So tonight, Jesus is coming to us in the gospel. He's knocking at the door of our hearts. And what will our response be? And then we read that there was this wonderful power of perfect love, because when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. Now Jesus knew he was there. And he knew his name, he knew all about Zacchaeus, because he didn't say to him, "You up there, come down." He said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And this is the marvellous thing about coming to know Jesus Christ. It's personal. The gospel speaks to us. Jesus speaks to us through his word. It may be quite faint. With some people it's faint. With some people it's almost like a megaphone. It doesn't matter whether it's a megaphone or whether it's faint, only provided it's the voice of Christ speaking with power. And Jesus Christ came exactly where he was. In all Zacchaeus' sin, in the ignorance that Zacchaeus had of Jesus, in all the limitations of his seeking to see Christ, because as we said, he basically came to see Jesus because he was curious. You couldn't say he was a man who came to see Jesus because he was trembling under the wrath of God because of his sin. The Bible doesn't say that at all. So even in the limitation of his experience, Jesus came exactly where he was. He knew he was there. And that's the equivalent of when we really hear the gospel for the first time. But you thank God that Jesus comes exactly where we are. He doesn't say, "Do this, do that, do the other." He comes to us where we are, as we are, in our sin, our ignorance, the frailty of even our faint desires to seek Christ. He comes exactly as to where we are. There's no other way to describe it, is it? Because what does Zacchaeus know about Jesus? Zacchaeus had been a man who was quite happy to get rich on the backs of others. But Jesus came to him where he was. And why did he do that? Because he loves Zacchaeus. He has a love for people like Zacchaeus and me and you. It's a perfect love. And it's a perfect love which cannot be denied. And he says with great power to Zacchaeus, "Make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." There was to be no prevarication, no putting it off. This was the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, ordering the chief tax collector, who no doubt many ordinary people trembled before because of what he could extort from them. He said to him, "Zacchaeus, you come down. You make haste and come down." And he did that through the power of his divine love. Perfect love confronts Zacchaeus, and it cannot be denied. And he's saying to Zacchaeus, "Look, you come down, Zacchaeus, for today I must stay at your house." Zacchaeus couldn't be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, by staying in a sycamore tree, could he? He couldn't say, "Well, look, I'll follow Christ, but I'll just stay in the sycamore tree and I'll go back to my old job," and so on. No. He had to declare himself openly. And I say to any of you, dear people here this evening, if you've got the smallest degree of faith in Christ and love toward him, then God has done a most wonderful thing to you, because you weren't born with that faith. You weren't born with that little grain of true love to Christ. God's put it in your heart. But you'll not find peace unless you declare what Christ has done for you openly. You can't stay hidden in the sycamore tree. The Lord Jesus says to Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at your house. It's this perfect love which accepts us as we are. I must abide at your house today. And that's a wonderful invitation, a wonderful statement that Jesus makes, because, you know, in the culture of the Middle East at that time, and maybe it's exactly the same now, I don't know, but to invite somebody into your home, to have a meal with them, meant that you're going to be, it was a sign of friendship. It was a sign of acceptance. It was much more than just sheer politeness. It went way beyond that. Jesus was saying, look, Zacchaeus, I'm going to stay at your house, Zacchaeus. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to stay at your house. I'm going to be a guest of yours. What an amazing condescension and humility of Jesus Christ. And he says, Zacchaeus, you, chief tax collector, I'm going to stay at your house. But then, what wonders it is that Jesus Christ says to us today, as he saved us, I'm going to stay at your house. I'm going to stay in your heart and your mind. I'm going to live in you. I'm going to change you. I'm going to be with you. And we think of our hearts. There's an old hymn I used to sing many years ago, and it got this, these lines about our own hearts, and it said, can ever God dwell here in such a heart as mine? Yes, he can. Just like Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus has got no time to get ready and say, I mean, you know what it's like. And if people say, well, look, can we come and see you? Well, people are ever so welcome, but you look around and think, well, perhaps I better hoover up, I better clear the kitchen up, and I want them to see it looking a bit better than this. You know what it's like. Perhaps you're the same, perhaps you're not. But Jesus didn't give Zacchaeus any time to do any of that. I'm going to come into your house, Zacchaeus, exactly as it is, and there may have been on the table somewhere some of Zacchaeus' ill-gotten gains. We don't know, but there could be no tidying up. Jesus would do that tidying up himself. He would sort all of that out in Zacchaeus' life, but first of all, he must come into the house of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus, what did he do? He hurried to Christ. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. He hurried to Christ as his friend, as the one who loved him, the one who hadn't rejected him. He received him joyfully. That's a good way to receive the gospel. It's the only way, really. You know, on the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches that amazing sermon, and the people, they had not long crucified Jesus Christ, and Peter says to him, look, this one you crucified, he's the Christ. He's the one who's been sent to save us. Yet you put him to death. God has raised him from the dead, but look what you've done. And so they say, look, what shall we do then to be saved? What should we do about it? What have we done? What should we do to be saved? And Peter says, repent, believe, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. And then we read that they that received his word gladly were baptized. Those who accepted by faith that in spite of all that they had done in previously rejecting Christ and going along with his crucifixion, there was forgiveness with them if they had only turned back to Christ and accept the forgiveness which he freely offered to them in the gospel. For those that received his word gladly were baptized, there is hope for me. there is hope for me. And that's what Zacchaeus was like. He received him joyfully. It's a hymn, isn't it, by Doddridge. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice. It's like Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. As pilgrim, he's got this huge burden, which means his sin on his back, and he doesn't know what to do with it, and he's pointed to this hill where there's a cross, and he sees the cross, and then the burden falls off, and he is released. He's so happy. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice. Zacchaeus was happy. Have you been happy because you know Jesus has forgiven your sins? And he came as he was. He didn't say, Lord, I better tidy the house up first. He came as he was. And my last point is this. It's a perfect love which changes us. Now the crowd began to complain. They all complained, saying he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Well, actually, what they said was quite true, although they were sinners themselves. Quite true, Zacchaeus was a sinner. Now, Zacchaeus didn't argue with that, but he knew what they were getting at, his life and what he'd done wrong. Now, Christ's love had reached out to him. It had found a place in his heart. And he had found Jesus and received him joyfully. But that perfect love of Jesus Christ is a penetrating love. Because it meant that faced with such love and acceptance, Zacchaeus knew that there were things in his life which could no longer exist with that perfect love. In other words, because Christ loved him, he couldn't go on in the old way, could he? The love of Christ was exposing the darkness in his life. And he knew that that couldn't go on. The two just wouldn't mix. And so as this love of Jesus penetrates Zacchaeus, he gives this generous response. He says, Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. It was a generous response to such perfect love. Under the law in the Old Testament, you were required to make restitution for stealing and for extortion. But Zacchaeus went way beyond what the law required. It was not the minimum. He just acted out of a generosity of spirit because of what Jesus Christ had done for him. In other words, suddenly all his wealth faded into insignificance compared to the fact that Christ loved him and he was now a follower of Christ. How different to the response of that poor rich young ruler who went away very sad, for he was very rich. And why did he go away sad? Because he loved his money more than Christ. The dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. And this is something as Christians we go on to learn more and more about in our lives. As this perfect love begins to penetrate us, we suddenly think, well, what about this and what about that and what about the other? Because we want to become like Christ. And Jesus says, now look, Zacchaeus is a true son of Abraham. Well, you could say, well, of course he was, because he was a Jew. Jesus is saying, look, he's more than the fact that he was born a Jew, which makes him a son of Abraham. As he goes on to say in John's Gospel, look, it's those who have faith in me, those who trust in me, they're the true children of Abraham, because Abraham knew I was coming. He rejoiced to see my day, says Jesus, and he was glad. Well, Zacchaeus lives in that day, which Abraham prophesied about. And he's so glad. He's had faith. And you know, dear friends, this man Zacchaeus, it is recorded in secular history. And, you know, we have to be very careful, don't we, of secular history, its reliability. But this seems to be absolutely most reliable, because church history was recorded from very earliest times. And Zacchaeus went on, apparently, to become a most valued and useful servant of Christ. It is recorded that he became the first bishop of the church at Caesarea. And that's something I didn't realise until I did some studies on this during the past few days. But I can believe it. I can believe it. This man was really changed by Christ. He loved Christ more than everything. Now, dear friends, what about us this evening? If Christ has encountered us with his perfect love through our earthly life, and we've come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, well, let's praise God for that this evening and thank him from the bottom of our hearts. But Jesus has passed this way this evening. Don't doubt his love to save you. Please don't doubt that. Please don't think he won't save you. Please don't think he doesn't love you in that sense. He loves people who seek him. He loves them. So without hesitation, by the grace of God, embrace Christ and ask him to be your Lord and your Saviour, and ask him to change your heart and your life, like he did with dear Zacchaeus. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Praise him for that great truth.